Hey, now, I want to be very open, honest, and frank. Now you're like, aren't you always that way? I am. And my wife tells me all the time, I always do TMI every Sunday. So, but that's just what happens, all right? But I want to be poignant in today's message and this entire month, all right? Because we're talking about prayer. Now, for some of you in this room, I don't want to belittle who you are. Okay, I don't want to belittle your time that you spend with God. I don't want to paint large, broad brushstrokes in a way that it just seems as if I'm picking on you or whatever. That's not my agenda. So I want to talk openly to you this entire month in a way that you're not a prayer warrior, per se, or that you're, because a lot of people like to take on that title, and I'm kind of like, that's a really big title, and sometimes it's self-proclaimed. I know, that hurt some people, because I don't think it's something that we should be prideful on. We shouldn't be really just walking around like, I'm a prayer warrior. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know. But how about we just know it? You know, how about this just oozes out of you kind of a moment? So that, like, that's way more like, whoa, you know, like, wow, this person, when I come across them, you know? And that's really that should be our objective anyway. That it shouldn't be something that we're like, look at me, look who I am. Matthew 6 warns against these things anyway, so we need to be a little bit more humble in these things. So when I begin to talk about prayer, I also want you to just kind of maybe just erase some of the things that you have, and let's just start fresh. Let's start fresh as if you don't know anything about prayer and that you're learning for the first time. So drop all pride, become humble here in the moment, and be like, hey, okay, let me just start fresh. Now, some of you, you're going to say, well, I pray, and I go, sure. And it's not a matter of spiritual jumping jacks that you're trying to get God's attention. Okay, I don't want that. I don't want you to be like, well, I pray, I got my time in the morning time, and then maybe I might do it at 3 o'clock every day. And those are great practices to put into practice. That's great that you have like a plan. Because if you don't plan, then you plan to fail. Everyone knows these things, okay? So it's really important that you focus in and go, okay, here's my time of prayer. However, you've kind of gotten into a spiritual rut that is now just a routine, and you're like a robot going in, and you do your thing, and you just kind of walk out. So that's why I say, like, let's just, like, wipe our thoughts of prayer, and let's see what nuggets that are in the Word of God that can kind of pour out, all right? Does that sound good? Okay. So, question I have for you is, do you have a prayer list or a prayer life? Interesting, right? When you get that question proposed to you, you're like, oh, prayer list or prayer life? Prayer list is time spent with God. Prayer life is the knowing that you're going to spend eternity with God. So it's, I want to be in God's presence. Prayer list is just time spent. Prayer life is eternity spent. All right? Now, years ago, I was out west, and I went to a church. I was so excited to visit this church, thrilled. I was like, I've always wanted to go to this church. This podium is a semi-copycat of what they have. We built this in-house, but I wanted to see how they built theirs, and then I came back, and I was like, yes, I've always wanted like a black walnut. You're like, yeah, you built it. Yeah, I did. There, now it's better. There you go. But I was so thrilled. And I wanted to meet the pastor. I was like, I want to meet this pastor. I love him. I love his books. I love his everything. So I was like, I love to meet him. So we called up and I go, hey, I'm a pastor in North Carolina. I'm out here visiting. I'd love to get a tour of your church. Love to meet your pastor if possible. So I walked through the front door and I'm greeted by the security guard. And I'm like, oh, okay. He's going to take me up to the pastor, you know. And so, no, he was the guy. He was it. He's all I got. His name was Jason. And so I was like, oh, I got Jason. And I was a little upset because I was like, security guy? You know, all right, Jason. And so Jason's taking me around. I was thinking, well, maybe there's a point where, you know, he's going to hand me off like a baton, you know. And nope, it was Jason the entire time. And I like Jason. Jason's a nice guy. I mean, I loved him. I was like, this is great. So at the very end, he said, hey, I've got empty spots on my prayer list. What do you guys need? And I was like, oh. I was like, well, we're in the process of finding a location and building it and trying to figure out, you know, our new home. We were in the theater at the time, and I was like, you know, Jason's like, all right, cool. So I was so mad. I got out of the church, and I remember getting in the car, and I looked at Anna, and everybody, I was like, oh, I got the security guard. This is why people complain about pastors never being available. I was calling the kettle black, right? I was like, oh my gosh, pastors. So I was so sad, and then I got on the airplane, I'm flying home, and then it hit me. Jason had empty prayer spots on his list because he gets things answered. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I met Jason. In that moment, I was like, I'm so thankful for Jason. Guys, that was in 2016. I mean, we're almost 10 years. We're 9 years. Let's call it 9. And I met Jason 9 years ago. Do you guys know that Jason still to this day will text me and email me? He just emailed me last week and asked me. He said, hey, we haven't updated your prayer yet. I'm sure it's been answered. He said, what do you need now? And sure enough, the last prayer that I gave him was answered. And here I have this guy who I'm not calling on to be like, dude, I need you to be praying alongside of me right now. Because you believe, you have that faith, you build my faith up because of your faith. And I'm like, I love this guy, Jason. Guys, I can't wait. I cannot wait for the next moment. I'm not going to tell you this. I know some of you are like, well, tell us what you asked him to pray for. No. But I'll let you know when it's answered. I'll let you know. But I love that. I love people who are intentional. It's not just a prayer list of a long list of things, but it's a poignant list to go, no, I'm going to pray about 5 things. And I'm praying for those 5 things to be answered. And I'm holding on to that. And then when one gets answered, I'll erase it and I'll put the new one in. And I tell you what, I'm so thankful I met Jason. So the question you have to ask yourself is like, do you have a prayer list? Now he has a prayer list and life, obviously, right? I mean, he's on it. But what does your prayer life look like? Is it a list or is it a life? A life lived with Christ. Because that's the ingredient to prayer that is so beautiful. It's a relationship that God wants you to have with him, that you're communing with him, that you're talking to him, that he's everything to you. God, your Father, he's not only your Father, but he's your Savior through Jesus Christ. Not only is he your Savior, but he's your best friend through the Holy Spirit. Like, all 3 in 1, these things come together. You go, man, this is the relationship that I've been invited into. Like, this is powerful. A few weeks ago, I was at a conference, and I was so excited. Another pastor that I admire, and I was so thrilled to meet him. I had met him before, but this time I was able to engage more one-on-one with him, and he's a renowned author, and I'm like, I love all his books, and I just love him, and so I got one-on-one time with him. So as we were talking, he looks at me, he goes, hey, take my cell phone down. And I was like, guys, I'm not kidding. I fanboyed a little bit. I couldn't get my thumbs to stop. I swear to you, it was just like this. I was like, he's giving me his cell phone number. I even had to stop and be like, like back at it, and I was like, this is your number, right? He's like, yeah, and this is his real number, because we've texted a few times. So then I left that conference, and 2 days later, I go to another conference. So we're in another conference in Boston. My best friend Justin's up there. So I called Justin early that morning, and I said, hey, man, what are you wearing? He said, I'm going to wear jeans, and I'm wearing, like, this shirt. And I was like, awesome, cool. So hung up. Oh, he said, hey, you're going to ride with me over there? I go, yeah, I'm going to ride with you. He's like, all right, awesome. Meet down in the lobby. We go down in the lobby. So we get in the car, and I go, he goes, how was the conference? I go, you won't believe this, but I got a new best friend. He said, who? And I told him. And he was like, he said, did you call him up this morning and ask what you should wear? No. He goes, then he's not your best friend. He said, I'm your best friend. I was like, shut, don't go aw. Don't feel sorry for Justin. Pastor Dave will tell you, raise your hand right now, don't feel sorry for Justin. Yeah, right. Don't feel sorry for him. No. You know, that's the importance of relationship, of the intimacy. Yeah, Justin's my best friend. I'm going to ask him the questions. What should I wear? Hey, did I sound stupid? Hey, you know, those are the questions that you give to a best friend. Not this formality of like, okay, what do I text this person? And it's like, no, God doesn't want that relationship with you. He wants the personal information. He wants the hard, easy questions and hard, big questions. He wants all of it. He wants to actually commune with you. He wants to have the good conversation. So in Psalm 34, verses 1 through 4, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. What a wonderful invitation. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. You know, the one deciding and deciphering factor with verse 3 here, and we've preached this multiple times here at the church, but I love the, oh, magnify the Lord with me. You can't make God bigger. He is as big as big gets, right? So what you're doing is you're magnifying God to your problems. That's why he's wrapping all of this up. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. He took his fears, laid them before God, and then magnified his God to his fears. And that's what we do when we go into prayer. That's what we're doing. We're saying, all right, I'm going to commit my ways to the Lord. I'm going to bring in these cares and these worries. I've brought those cares and those worries before the Lord. Lord, do I have what it takes? God, have I been given the gifting? Have you blessed me with this gifting? I mean, you're asking these things. God, I'm not a very good husband. Make me a better husband. Lord, I'm not a great father. Will you make me a better father? If there's anyone who knows how to do it, it's him. God, I'm not really great as a manager. I'm not really great as a school teacher. I'm not really great as this. But God, you know what it takes. You know what it needs. God, reveal to me how it needs to take place. Lord, give me your wisdom so I'm the best. That whatever I place my hands upon, Lord, it grows in Jesus' name. That I do it fervently. That I do it with stewardship. God, of knowing the importance, Lord, that it's not just something I just kind of just do every so often. It is the thing I do. And everything I do it with gladness. And everything that I do it with honor and respect towards you. That's key. God becomes bigger when you become closer. It's 100% fact. And I love what A.W. Tozer says, the smaller your God, the bigger your problems. Smaller your God, the bigger your problems. So use that as a litmus test, kind of like a blaring alert alarm moment. If you're just screaming out your problems, If that's all you're talking about, like all the time, not just a little bit, but like through the day you're consumed with the problem, then consume your problem with God. Amen. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, I can't get enough of this scripture. Cannot get enough. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. You know, there is something to be said when you do come around people that just love the Lord. I mean, there is just something about it. You just know it. You sense it. There's just a peace that surrounds them that they just love the Lord. Like, I love surrounding myself with people like this. People who know Jesus, who walk in the ways of the Father, people who are upright in stature. And there's just something about them that just, man, there's an attractiveness to them that you go, man, this is so good. I know this is really strange to share with you guys, but, you know, I met Anna before she was dating one of my friends. They broke up, don't worry. We gave it a little time. But I went on double dates with her as my friend's girlfriend. And we went bowling, we did things together. And I remember my friend asking me, like, hey, what do you think about Anna? And I was like, she's great. And that was about it. So it wasn't like this love at first sight moment, right? Until I was invited to her church. And so I showed up at the church, and she was leading children's church on a Sunday evening. And they said, hey, we're going to go upstairs, and we'll see Anna. We'll sit through her children's church. Now, that's weird. You know what I mean? So that doesn't happen all the time. You get invited to go sit in children's church as a 24-year-old, you know? So I remember going up in there, and I remember watching her deliver God's word to children. Something changed. Like, immediately. I was like, I like her. I don't know what it is, but that's when I fell in love with Anna. I know it. When she was delivering the word of God to children. And I was like, I'm marrying her. Now, I didn't tell her that for a little bit, because that would have been creepy. But there is something about the love of God because of how pure it is. How beautiful that it is. That when someone possesses it, it is just so attractive. And that's why it's important that we understand that when you humble yourself and you go, not my ways, your ways. Not my thoughts, your thoughts. That God, it's so important that I find myself in a time of prayer with you because your ways and your thoughts are higher than mine. That anything that I do is really on my own is a waste. But God, if I do it with the understanding of who you are and the importance of this, that changes everything. And that's why I would say to you, potency comes through commitment. Committing yourself to be in the presence of God is the potency that you're looking for. The real deal. The stuff. I mean, I don't know if you guys, we don't do this anymore for some reason. I think it was for me as an 80s kid. I mean, nothing was better than my mom would buy that can of concentrated orange juice. You remember? And then you would add water to it. You guys remember? Donald Duck had a brand. Remember that? I remember my mom would crack that open, and I was so excited. I would take a spoon and just go straight at it. Yeah, Terrence, oh, yeah, he just got excited. Oh, yeah. That potency of the concentrate, you're like, yes, right? It's like the best. I don't want watered down, y'all. I don't want watered down. You want the real thing. That's a facade. I pray every day for 5 minutes. Now, I'm not belittling 5 minutes. 5 minutes can be like eternity. Don't get me wrong on that. So that's what I'm saying. Don't get all offensive and like defensive. Don't stop. But I'm just, you know exactly what I'm saying when I say 5 minutes of, oh my God, Lord, help me. You know what I need to do. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, Lord. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, Lord, help me. Lord, protect me. There's a scripture out there that says something about you'll protect me, God. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. That's what I'm talking about. All right? Not real heartfelt moments where you're like, all right, God, we're going to talk right now. I thank you for so many things. God, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you sit on the throne. God, I'm so thankful, Lord, that I'm living and breathing right now, and what you have blessed me with in my hands and what I'm capable of doing, God, that only by you, by only your mercy and grace, am I capable of doing all of this. God, you know my situation. You know what's happening right now. God, you see it. You see through it. You see the open door that needs to be opened and the closed door that needs to be closed. God, reveal those doors to me. God, bring wisdom to my crazy head right now. Take the thoughts that just keep weaving themselves in and out, the chaos right now that just keeps waving in and out of my head, the things that aren't even true that somehow I'm believing. God, reveal those things to me, which what they are, that they're just lies. God, instruct me right now, Lord, in your ways. How do I handle this circumstance? Whatever it is, God, show me what I need to say. Show me what I need to do. God, I thank you right now that you're sending believers that are locking arms with me. God, I thank you, Lord, that this is just a day of celebration in you. God, that I'm getting the victory over this problem. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that every need is met. God, you know the needs I need. God, I don't have to spit them all out on a list, but God, you know what I need. God, I'm looking for favor. Your word says that I can have favor in your sight and in man's sight. So God, you know the meeting I'm about to go in. So God, I want to speak your words when I walk into this meeting, that they'll look at me and be like, potency is commitment. God, I thank you, Lord, that through time and time again, I can entrust my life in your hands. God, forgive me for anything that I'm holding. And God, I forgive those, whatever I'm holding, whatever offense I'm holding, any bitterness, any strife. God, if I say a name in my head and I get ugh inside, God, then that, Lord, that I know I'm in trouble. So God, right now, I love this person and I'm sorry for holding something to them. I forgive them. I don't need to call them up because they hurt me. They don't even know they hurt you. God, I thank you right now that I'm that is water under the bridge. Years ago, I am the pastor of the family. I am the only pastor in the Schmitz, the Hams, the Greshams, the Scotts, the Barnetts, all the families that make my tree. So I am the pastor. So I do all of the funerals. And years ago, for Thanksgiving, my second cousin comes in from China, okay? And he's some well-to-do book guy who speaks at Harvard every so often. And they asked him to pray. Was I a little offended? Maybe. He begins to pray, and his words were so elegant. They were like butter on hot bread. I mean, it was like poetic, beautiful. And when he finished, my grandma, who is now, 90,000 years old? I don't even know, Dad. What is she, 97, 98? 98. Still alive, kicking. I'm living forever, y'all. 98. My grandma begins to cry. And I'm like, this is hogwash. I have never made my grandma cry. Never. And I'm the one, she tells me all the time that I'm doing her funeral. She's like, I remember, gosh, when I die, you're doing my funeral. I've never heard my second cousin ever be told that. I was so mad. I was sitting here going, what did he say? What did he say? Still to this day, I have no idea what he said. Some of these words were way bigger than my words. So I have no idea. Point being, I'm here to tell you right now, God does not lay your answers up based upon the words that you place before him. He knows your heart. That's why he said that the Holy Spirit will actually speak utterances that you aren't capable to actually speak. So thank you all for all of us Hilljack hillbillies who didn't learn English very well. All right? So I just want you to know right now, you don't have to be some poetic genius that speaks at Harvard. What you can be is you. And that's what God wants more than anything, is that you come to him as you. Period. The one thing that I want us to be careful about when it comes to prayer is, I don't want us to make our feeble experiences of our unbelief the measure of what our faith can expect. Okay? I don't want this. I don't want those feeble experiences of our unbelief, these moments of just whatever, and then that becomes the statement to where our faith, or the ceiling to where our faith can only go. Because what happened last time, this will happen every time. And you've got to stop that. I shared with the men on Friday that we have to begin to question our asks before our Heavenly Father. That we don't just place these requests before the Lord and be like, well, maybe it's kind of like you're being conservative with your thoughts. You're like, well, really can't ask God for this. That seems audacious, you know? I like using big words too, Dave. Some of you are like, audacious isn't big. Speak to me! Okay. I don't want you to create a ceiling that you now, before the Lord, you aren't asking for bigger things. I'm not talking about possessions. I'm talking about bigger things in the kingdom of God. The world has the idea that leadership is position, possessions, right? Problems, but they don't count. Position, all of these. For us, it's people. For the leadership in the Lord is the stewardship of people. So for us, it's God, what do you want me to do? The hands that I have been given, the mind that I've been given, Lord, what can I do for the kingdom of God? Lord, I present myself to you as a holy living sacrifice. God, that I can be used, that here I am, send me, that this is it. So God, when I come to you and I present these things to you, I pray that I am not limiting your abilities, that I'm not belittling what you're capable of doing, but Lord, I'm saying, yeah, bring it. That I'm believing so big, it's over the top. I want the doubters and the naysayers to say, I want the looks behind my back, because that's when God shows up. I know that I've dreamt that big now. And that's what we all should be doing with our prayers, that we lay them out and we go, God, now, did I ask big enough? I don't think I did. Just double it. Just multiply it by two. Multiply it by three. Just go ahead, tenfold over, all right? Begin to put this before the Heavenly Father and say, Lord, this is it. This is what I want. Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. What if we took these words just as they were spoken? Just as they were spoken. Not with question. Not with doubt. What if we just said, all right, for everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. What if we just took it exactly how it is, verbatim, and let us not suffer from human reason to weaken these words? What if we just said, this is it. I'm taking this for face value. God said he can do it, therefore he'll do it. I need a breakthrough in my business, breakthrough in my business. God, you know that I'm a good steward of my business. I've placed this business before your hands, right before your feet. God, I have placed this right here. Maybe you do some type of a practice, or maybe you whatever it is, but you say, God, what can I do for the kingdom of God through my practice? Lord, am I a sower into other people? God, what is it that you have me to do? Lord, what is it? I want to do things right. I want to put my best foot forward and say, God, this is it. Like taking that step and laying it down at his feet, getting down on your hands and knees and saying, Lord, this is, I don't know what I've been doing, but I've been doing it my way. But God, now I want to do it your way. It changes everything. Now, for some of you in this room, you'd be like, but I don't understand this. Well, that's the beauty about prayer, is that when you go to him, Jesus then begins to reveal that understanding to you. I don't understand it myself. I wish I did. But you know what? I don't understand how a car works or a combustible engine. But guess what? I drive one every day with no problem. With no problem. I get in my car and I go, and every so often it goes, and then I call Stephen, our worship pastor. And I go, Stephen, my car sounds like, and he goes, oh, that's because of this, 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 and this. And I go, well, that's great, because I have no idea what any of those things are. But yet I still will get in that car and I will drive it. And I don't understand any of it. But yet some of us, we get overwhelmed with the size of this and we say, so hard, I don't even want to do it. You won't even take the time to drive it. The minute you begin to drive it, which is prayer, it begins to see, the revelation clicks in. You go, oh, this is it. Oh, I get it now. I see it. I understand why the Word of God is a living Word. It actually is new every day to me for some reason. There's always a new revelation, a new understanding, a new way to think about it, a new way to look at it. I go, oh my gosh, the possibilities are endless. Jesus will teach you how to do it. I love what Andrew Murray says. Man's prayer on earth and God's answer in heaven are meant for each other. They're meant for each other. And that's how we need to go to the throne room. Oh, God actually needs my prayer. No, no, no. Don't take that wrong. See, some of you are like, he needs you. No, no, he doesn't need you. He has been asking for you to step out in faith. That's why he kept saying, Jesus kept saying over and over again, oh, you have little faith. Jesus wept. Some people are like, Jesus wept because of Lazarus. No, he didn't weep because of Lazarus. He wept because of the lack of faith that everyone had. That's why he wept. Everyone's like, oh, no, 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 no. He wept because of the lack of faith. This is where you got to realize that God is saying, hey, come to me. Come to me. I need this relationship. That's why he sent his son. He needed that relationship. He wants that. That's why he got all so sad in the Garden of Eden with Adam. He's like, hey, where are you guys at? God knew where they were at. He was so sad because sin created a divide. And now that there is no divide, some of us just kind of treat it with contempt. Well, we can talk to God anytime we want, but we choose not to. What if I told you, you could schedule a meeting at your convenience with the most skilled accountant, architect, physician, entrepreneur, contractor, CEO, COO, CFO, and all the co's. All of them. You get to schedule this meeting. Isn't that strange? I would like for everyone right now, I'd like for you to get your phone out. I'd like for all of you guys to call the CEO of Apple right now. See how far you get. No one in this room has that number. Right. Okay, that's what I thought. Rob, you don't have it. You're the only one I think that could possibly have that number. Do you have that number? No. Second person's Bruce. Bruce, do you have that number? No. Anyone else? That's what I thought. But if you did, oh, you'd be all over that. Because nobody knows how to work their iPhone. So you'd be calling him up. Hey, I got an error. I don't know how to do this. How do I change the colors in my apps? Guys, if you knew that number, you would call it. But yet our Heavenly Father, the creator of the universe, right? The most creative. He created everything. Meaning what you need, he has it. He knows it. He knows how it works in and out. And he's saying to you, come to me, come to me, come to me. You have an issue? You got problems? You just want to be cheerful? How often do we come to God just cheerfully?
I mean,
no offense, but let's call it for what it is. Some of you guys look dead inside during worship. And I'm not talking about we have to be all like, to be like, I'm happy. But I mean, seriously, it's like, you're giving these guys evil looks. I don't even understand it. So it's that knowing of like, we have the access, the ability to get to our Heavenly Father. I have vision. People who are around me, I've got dreams beyond my resources. And the one thing that I want in my own life, and I pray for all of you in this room, is that you as well begin to dream so big and that you have been given so much vision from your Heavenly Father that you don't have the resources for it. I'm so thankful that I don't have the resources for it, because now I become dependent upon Him. And that's what He wants. So now I'm sitting here going, oh my goodness, I have the opportunity right now to come before the Father. I get to come to Him and I get to say, God, this is it. You've been giving me these dreams and these visions of these big things, and Lord, I'm presenting them to You now. And so, God, thank You so much. And then when the resources arrive, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. You know, we're literally putting our best foot forward when we begin to pray. In that prayer of that journey, it's an experience of journey. Like when you're in prayer, it's not just this stagnant moment. It's actually a journey of being surrounded by God and just, it's the potency and it's the commitment and it's all of those things just laying upon you. You go, man, this is so good. And then the gratitude that you receive, or the gratitude you go, this is a game changer now. Because now I got a heart and a posture where I'm like, when I go before the Lord, this is it. I mean, it's like so, it's tremendous. It's an experience like nothing you've ever felt before. And it trains your brain to notice and then begin to appreciate the little things. Bill and I, where's Bill? Bill. Bill and I were walking off the pickleball court yesterday. That sounds weird. Pickleball court. We walk off the pickleball court and he goes, oh my gosh, what's that? And we both stop and we look down and it's a spider devouring a cricket. Both of us just stared at it because we're men and that's what we do. It's crazy just watching that. That's why I looked at him and I go, creation's weird and real. like that's wild. Like, you begin to see things, you go, man, how in the world? Like, we have a creative God. We have a God who loves us so much. And He wants to open up His throne room for you to come in, and He wants to talk to you. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you. That you begin to walk in that gratitude moment where you go, man, God is so good. God is so wonderful. You're joyful. You go, man, I just appreciate it. You know what gratitude does? Gratitude actually gets rid of, and you can fight me on this, and that's okay. You can argue if you'd like. But gratitude actually will get rid of anxiety and depression. It is the antidote. It is the natural, supernatural antidote to anxiety and depression when you become grateful. Your brain actually can't switch. Like, you can't be grateful and have anxiety at the same time. It's not possible, actually. They've said this. Doctors have actually confirmed this. You can't be grateful and have anxiety and fear and depression when at the same time. It doesn't work. So I'd tell you to choose being grateful. That when you spend time with your Heavenly Father, God reveals to you these moments of why you're grateful. It's beautiful. I don't like quoting Albert Einstein because he was not a Christian. This one phrase that he says is really, I think, that crux of decisions where you have to make that pivotal moment where you go, this is it. He says, there are only two ways to live your life. One is if nothing is a miracle. And the other is if everything is. I want you guys to close your eyes, to open your eyes. So, we've always had a prayer culture at our church. But there's been hard moments due to environments and different places we've been in with the restrictions of like how to get, you know, how to open up the altar. We couldn't do that at the theater. And for a few years here, we were kind of always asking Katie and Christian and all of us, we'd be like, all right, do we put a bunch of rugs down? Are they going to be trippable? You know, all those kind of things. Like, how do we get this process? And so thankfully, over time now, too long of a time, it's been revealed where it's like, this is how we can do it. That we've got these prayer rugs out here, that this is an invitation at all times for you to be able to come down and lay everything at the feet of Jesus. That you can come down and kneel down during worship, during altar call and prayer. I want you to come down and just pray. We've got these kneeling pads as well here in these baskets. And so grab one, set it down, and go for it. And so Stephen immediately, I love Stephen. Stephen's always a little different. He goes like this. He's like, I like to sit. Dude, it feels good on your bottom too. Grab one of these and kneel. I can't wait until these are worn out and we got to buy new ones. We have prayer tonight. 6 o'clock. And none of you ever show up. Oh my gosh. I know. What a jerk move I just did, right? You're like, wow. Maybe I had things I got to do. Maybe you did. I don't know. But I would tell you to come out for prayer. We do it once a month, beginning of the month. We have prayer night at 6. For the next 5 minutes, we're going to worship right now. And this is open. If you got a care, if you got something you need to break through, you should come down and present this before the Lord. Everyone, let's stand to our feet. Let's worship.